Let's turn in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 6, and we're coming back to your studies in Matthew 6. And as you'll know, if you're here at the commencement of these studies, we're studying the first 7 chapters of the book of Matthew. Then we'll take a break and go to another study and then come back and study the next 7 chapters and do that in 4 portions. And certainly our hearts have been blessed as we've considered God's Word. But we're continuing in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this word. And why, Lord, it's a short word. We realize it contains so much truth. Lord, if the people of God grasp these verses, this will open up a wonderful, fruitful prayer life and a bountiful and blessed spiritual life. And we pray, Lord, today you'll write these words upon our heart. Lord, we don't need to go to some book to know how to pray through to God. We need to come to the Word of God and obey the clear instructions of thy Word. Oh, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, may this be a morning where people's attitudes and appreciation of prayer are changed because God has spoken to them. And may we know what it is to be a people of prayer. Oh, Lord, minister to our hearts, we pray. Lord, I ask today you'll empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy Spirit. May the Lord be glorified in what is said and done in this service. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen and amen. In verses 1 to 4, we considered about doing alms before men, or doing service or giving service unto the Lord, and the importance of sincerity in service. And whenever we come to verses 5 through to verse number 8, our attention is drawn to the prayer life of the believer. The prayer life of the believer. You will notice that the opening words of verse number 5 say, when thou prayest. Not if thou prayest, but when thou prayest. You'll notice that it is expected in verse number 2, when thou doest thine alms. So we read here in Scripture that the Lord expects his people to serve him. The Lord expects his people to pray unto him. Now, there are much we could say about prayer, and we hope to cover some of this morning, but I want to commence really with 2 quotes that really spoke to me. Leonard Ravenhill, that great preacher of the last century, said, "No man is greater than his prayer life. No man is greater than his prayer life." C.H. Spurgeon said, "True prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth." In the year 1850, the Atlantic cable was laid across the floor of the Atlantic Ocean that would connect the United States of America with Great Britain. And for the first time, they could communicate via telegraph wires, and they were able to link the two nations together. On both sides of the Atlantic, there was great celebration, and there were parties held on both sides because they were able to communicate with each other without waiting on letters being sailed across the ocean. We have the privilege this morning of speaking to the Creator of this world. There is a throne in heaven that is interested this morning, child of God, in what you have to say and the requests that you have to make. And yet the powerful thing is that you could hardly beat some Christians to a prayer meeting. You could hardly shame some Christians into a prayer meeting. You could hardly show them the importance of the prayer meeting. And yet the Lord desires to meet with us in prayer. What is prayer? Well, the Shorter Catechism says prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confessions of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. Psalm 62 verse 8 says, pour out your heart before him. And friend, that's what we ought to be doing in prayer, pouring out our heart before God. It's simply sharing with the Lord what is on our heart and on our mind. It says, for things agreeable to his will. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. How do I know what the will of God is? You're holding it in your hand. And if you pray according to this book, you can be sure God will hear and answer that prayer. Not only that, we have to pray in the name of Christ. If we pray in Jesus' name, we're coming saying that, Lord, we pray not upon our own merit, but upon Christ's. We're praying, Lord, for you to bless us, not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is and what he has done in bringing us into the family of God. We also have to pray with confession of our sin. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. I made my confession. Confession is not a dirty word, you know. Confession is a scriptural word. And we ought daily to confess before the Lord our shortcomings and our sins and our failures. And the Lord will forgive the iniquity of our sin. But we also have to have a thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. A friend, no matter how great your day is or no matter how difficult your day is, there's always something to thank God for that he hasn't changed. He's still the same. He's faithful. He's a giver of all good things, and he is your protector, your guide, your sustainer, and your friend. You know, whenever we read about prayer in the Bible, it's interesting to hear how people approached prayer. In Psalm 109, verse 4, there's a little statement that says, I give myself unto prayer. I give myself unto prayer. I wonder, can you say that this morning? Can you say, I have given myself unto prayer? In Colossians 4 and 12, Paul writes about always laboring fervently in prayer. Now, if something's been done fervently, it's not half-hearted, it's not lackluster, but it's done with passion. Hebrews 10 and 22, let us draw near with a true heart. Friend, you realize that when you pray, you draw near to God. Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. The Lord will not hear me. A friend, we must come with that confession of sin and a pure, sincere heart. But just turn to Isaiah 45, a little verse I came across as I was studying for this. I've read it before, but it just wasn't highlighted in the way it was as I studied. But certainly, if you go to Isaiah 45, verse 19, and I think this is a precious thing. Why ought we to pray? Well, it says there, and the Lord is speaking, of course, in Isaiah 45, verse 19, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I have not said unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. In other words, the Lord has never said, seek me in vain. What is he saying? He's saying, if you sincerely seek me, there will always be a blessing. If you sincerely seek the Lord, there'll always be a reward. God blesses his people when they come to the place of prayer. It's not a vain thing to seek God. You might say, but you know, preacher, my prayers haven't been answered. The reality could be that your prayers haven't been answered the way you think they should be. God always answers the prayers of his people when they're prayed sincerely. And if you truly seek the Lord with all your heart, then it's not in vain. But one thing we notice here in verse number 5 of Matthew chapter 6 is that prayer must be sincere. And this is the bottom line. Prayer must be sincere. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You see, there's a danger here of being motivated by what men think of you. If we start to become fond of what men think, then we will start to act in a way that is regulated by the opinions of man. Our activities, our worship, will always be looking around to see what does he think of me? What does she think of me as I do this? And friend, if that's the case, the only person you'll be pleasing is man. That's what it says there, that they may be seen of men. That's the reason they opened their mouth. Imagine taking one of the most precious, special gifts that God has given to us and abusing it through pride and hypocrisy. Friend, if the motivation for you to pray is that people will hear you and pat you in the back and say, oh, you're a son person, you've missed it. You're abusing prayer. You're using it in a way that God has not intended it for. Because there's a danger of being motivated by what men think, but there's also the folly of being motivated by what men think. The folly is this: you start to act in a hypocritical manner. You start to put on this show that you appear to be something that you're not. The word hypocrite means an actor, someone playing the part, false pretense. In fact, the Lord said this of the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. I trust and pray that you come to God's house to worship God. I trust and pray your motivation to go to the place of prayer is to serve the Lord. Your motivation to read your Bible, to pray privately, is to honor the Lord, not to be seen of man. When we start to get overly concerned about the praises and plaudits of men, then several things start to happen. We're more concerned about what man thinks and God thinks. The well done of God isn't that as important as the temporal praises of man. Our heart will appreciate more the earthly gain rather than the heavenly reward. And you know what? You'll be in great bondage because in the back of your mind, also, I wonder what he thinks that. I wonder what she thinks that. Why did they not say I was doing well today? Why did they not say that? Folks, don't get into that trap. Don't get into bondage of what man thinks of you. You'd be concerned that the smile of God is upon your life. Whatever you can, put right and then live before God, and God will smile upon you. But notice the emptiness of being motivated by what men think. Look what it says at the bottom of that verse. They have their reward. They have their reward. You see, there's no well done from God for insincerity, hypocrisy, or acting the part. The reality is, friend, if you're a hypocrite this morning in the place of prayer or any other part of your Christian life, you not only miss out on the heavenly reward, but more importantly, you miss out on the reality of a closer walk with God. And that's the sad thing. No authenticity in your walk with God. And you know, I've seen people, and they're often very critical people, and they pick faults from him and her and all of this, but you know what? As all they ever talk about is how wrong people are and how disappointed they are in people and this, that, and the other. But you know what the reality is? They don't have a close walk with God. Because I'll tell you, you see, if someone has a close walk with God, while they may see people's flaws and while they may be disappointed in others, their relationship with the Lord will be more important, and they'll talk about that more than they talk about other people. Now, one thing I have to say here, and make it very clear, and please listen to me this morning. This verse is speaking against praying in public. Now, the reason it's speaking against praying in public is because of the attitude and the reason for the prayer, or the motive for the prayer. It is for pride and self. These passages really are dealing with private prayer. But it is not wrong to pray publicly, and it is not something that you should say, well, I better not do that in case the people think I'm a hypocrite. The Word of God does many times command and record the church praying together, vocally and publicly. And it's so important. What I would say is this: it is not wrong to pray in public, but there ought to be prayer in private before you're praying in public. There ought to be prayer in private before you pray in public. On the day of Pentecost, where were they at? They were in a prayer meeting. The man and the woman together praying in the prayer meeting. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they gave themselves to many things, and one of those things was prayer. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, come together, humility and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. When Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, in Colossians 4, verse 2, he said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Acts chapter 14, verse 2, whenever the attack of the devil was upon the church, you know what the church did? They didn't go about gossiping about it or talking about it or trying to say who was right and who was wrong. They came together and they prayed. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for them. Friend, what's the best thing you can do whenever the devil attacks this work is pray. What's the best thing you can do whenever one of your brothers or sisters falls? Pray. What's the best thing you can do whenever you're disappointed or hurt by somebody's actions or words? Pray. And often prayer changes our heart and gives us a love and a desire to see that person restored rather than hatred and bitterness to see him destroyed. The emphasis here is in personal prayer. But friend, I do believe with all my heart, if someone has a personal prayer life, they will desire and be moved of God to pray in public as well. They will. And we need people to pray. And it's right to desire to pray. But as we come to these verses, verses 6, 7, and 8, this is speaking about your personal prayer life. How you conduct yourself before God today. And there's three simple truths I want to leave about personal prayer as we bring our service to a close this morning. The first statement I want to make, or the first truth I want to highlight, is this: God answers prayer. Verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Here's my first statement: God answers prayer. Isn't that wonderful? This is not a foolish thing, it's not a wasted thing. Adrian Rogers, a Bible commentator and preacher, said that the prayer to God that is offered in the morning during your quiet time is the key that unlocks the door of the day. Any athlete knows that it is a start that ensures a good finish. My friend, if you want to put your head down the pillow at night and say, thank you, God, for that day, thank you for the victory over sin, thank you for the work that was done, thank you for the witness that was done, thank you for the blessing, well, then you start the morning asking for those things. The necessity of prayer can never be overemphasized by any preacher. We need to pray. Our character depends upon it. Our thought life depends upon it. Our moral standards depend upon it. Our worship, our testimony, our sincerity, all these depend upon prayer. We cannot manipulate these things, otherwise we'll be hypocrites playing the part. But when we pray, the Lord works within us, and what's worked within is seen in the outward life, and we are seen as godly people. Prayer is needed. There's no shortcut here. There are those that prayed for us, thank God, and therefore we need to pray for those who cannot yet pray for themselves. Every great outpouring of the Lord, every visitation of the Spirit of God commenced when the Lord put a burden to pray upon the heart of his people. Sometimes it was one man, one woman. Sometimes it was two men. Sometimes it was two women. But God put a burden upon the heart to pray. Friend, if you go through with God and you pray, there's no telling where the Lord will pour out his Spirit. How far the Lord will take you, and what height you'll climb. But friend, it will never be done unless it's done upon your knees. And it's expected of God's people that they pray privately. And it says, go into your closet. That literally means a private place. Somewhere you'll not be distracted. Obviously a place where the television's off, a place where the radio's off, a place where the phone is turned off, put it in silent, keep it out of the room. Because you can be sure whenever you're trying to do something for the Lord, the phone's going to ring. You can be sure if you're sitting maybe in a kitchen and you see a washing machine, you think, oh, better do that first. Go to a place where there's no distractions. Go to a place where you can get alone with God. For different people, that will be different places. There's no more spiritual place than any other place, but there ought to be a place that's private and ought to be a place that's secluded where you can get alone with God. There was a preacher in the 1800s, Dr. Charles Parkhurst. He was a distinguished preacher and a reformer in New York. And in an address in which he dealt with his early religious life, he related how he had often heard his father pray in church and at the family altar and at the family table. And he said those things didn't really impress him. What impressed him was, as a little boy one day, he was out on the farm and he heard his father praying aloud upon his knees in the barn. And when he saw that and he heard that, he knew about the reality of prayer and the deep reality of the walk with God. You see, we need public praying people. Every church needs that, but we must first be a private praying people. You see, you ought to know on a Thursday night, well, this is prayer meeting night, this is where I'm going to be. But there also be daily, this is prayer time, this is where I need to be, wherever that is. And there's no public viewing here, it's just you and God. But let me tell you, you see where God and his people are? It's holy ground. It's holy ground. You're in the presence of God. Maybe there's an armchair you go to. Maybe it's a bedroom. Maybe it's an office. Maybe it's just a small place in your house. My friend, that's holy ground because it's you and God. And I would say this also, in the private place of prayer, there are prayers that are not appropriate for public prayer meetings. I do not like it whenever people are telling the whole congregation something in their prayer and they're disguising it as a prayer, but they're really just telling the congregation what they want the congregation to know. That's an abusive prayer. The prayer meeting is not to know people's business or to reveal people's business or personal matters of a nature that ought to be private between you and the Lord. Folks, that's not what the prayer meeting's for. But that's what private prayer's for. You see, in the closet, you can focus on the Lord and pour out your heart before him. Hymn writer said, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have you carried it all? Friend, there's nothing too big that he can't handle. There's nothing too small that he's not interested in. God wants to know. And not only that, but God's people have the right to expect that God answers prayer. Look at the promise. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The thought in the original is this, that thy Father, which is in secret, sees you. It's not the fact that you're in secret, but that he's in secret. A friend, while you're hidden away from the eyes of the world, God's eyes are upon you. And that's all that matters. While the ears of the world can't hear, God hears. He's there. He's listening for your cry. You're communing with the Lord. E.M. Bounds wrote several volumes on prayer. And I would encourage you, if you ever come across one of his books, to lift it and read it, for I'll tell you, it'll stir your heart. And he said, prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed, a rare delight that is always revealing some new beauty. And the reward that is spoken of here is not that God is in debt to us because we prayed to him. Friend, that is not what prayer is. But rather, it is the grace of God that he has ordained that when we pray, we are blessed. Wisdom can be asked for and received in prayer. Peace, forgiveness, strength, to name but a few. We could preach on each one of these for weeks and only be scratching the surface. We pray because God has revealed this is the noble and best way for a man to live or worship. We want God's best, so we go God's way and we obey God's word. And God blesses, and there's a great reward for those who go through with God. It's not that he's in debt to us, but rather that that's the avenue through which he pours out many blessings purchased by the blood upon us. So the first thing is this, God answers prayer. But the second truth is this, God answers specific prayers. Look at verse number 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now here we see the activities of the heathen. And I'll be honest, I often would have maybe made reference to this, all vain repetition. But notice the context of the verse. It says, use not vain repetition as the heathen do. This is speaking about unsaved people. Now, the word use and the word vain repetitions in the Greek are both the same words. And they really mean someone who is talking tediously or babbling. So the original verse could read, but when you pray, babble not vain babblings. Babble not vain babblings. One Bible commentator has translated it as heaped up empty phrases, empty sentiments without any sincerity or thought. So unfortunately, the translation here, vain repetition, has been misused and misinterpreted over many, many years and misunderstood. Now, what can we say about this verse? Do not babble vain babblings, or do not use heaped up empty phrases. Whenever you see the prayer life of societies that have not known the truth of God's word, and whenever people like New Tribes Mission go into a new tribe or a new area or a new land, and they try and get into contact with the people and try and learn the people's ways, there's always a worship there. There's always worship to some deity. There's within the heart of man that there is a creator God. But often you'll find that the prayers of these lands and these people who know nothing of the scriptures are full of mystical phrases that really don't make much sense at all, but they think with these mystical phrases and these wonderful sayings, and really in many ways magical sayings, because they believe that as they say these words, things will happen. They believe that these phrases will please the gods whom they worship. But whenever you read the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture, and of the men and the woman of God, they weren't prayers full of big lofty statements that nobody could understand, but rather they were conversations with God. Now, there must be reverence and respect in prayer and in our approach to God, and care in how we speak. But the content, and this is what is being emphasized here, the content must be honest and sincere. We must talk to God. We must communicate with God. Now, God communicates clearly with us. We must communicate clearly with God. You see, there's some people who think, if I use big sentences and big words that I don't really understand, well, people will be impressed, first of all, and the Lord will be impressed. I once heard of a preacher who preached a message that really was above everybody's head. The language and the content really wasn't accessible to anybody in the congregation. And he preached this message, and not one person in the congregation understood what was saying. And on the way out of the church, someone said, "Well, that was great stuff." And someone tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Well, what did he preach about this morning?" He goes, "Oh, I don't know, but it was mighty." Now, it was a waste of time, because there was no communication of the plain simple truth of God's word. Friend, don't think you have to complicate things before God. He's the infinite, all-knowing one, the only wise God. Friend, be honest and sincere before God. Be honest and sincere before God. You know, whenever we go to the children's camp in the summer, we have what we call quiet time. And that's devotional time in the morning and the evening for about 20 minutes, half an hour. And you gather around with your dorm group, and you maybe have 5, 6, 7, 8 kids, and they're sitting with you and their Bible, and you read through the Bible. And then, at the end of that time, we have the opportunity to pray, and we pass the Bible around the circle. If you want to pray, you pray when you're holding the Bible. If you don't, you pass the Bible on the next person until it comes back to me. And you just say, look, simply pray on the Lord. Give him some guidance and pray. But I'll tell you something. I have heard some of the most powerful prayers coming out of the lips of 8-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 10-year-olds. You know why? Because they are simply talking to God. They're talking to God. And you understand here this morning, friend, we're not here to impress. We're here to communicate. God wants our heart. God wants us to share with him. And one thing I would say, and I have to say, I was really, really, my eyes were open when I was studying this. It is not wrong to repeat prayers. And I know sometimes we pray, and I felt convicted, and I thought, you know, I seem to just pray the same thing again. Is that just vain repetition? Oh, those churches, they just say the same thing all the time. That's vain repetition. Friend, turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And the Lord is in the garden and he's praying. And in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 44, "And the Lord left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." The Lord prayed the same prayer three times in a row. Now, which of us are going to accuse the Lord of being repetition? Friend, you see how we have to be careful? How we take parts of the Word of God and apply it out of context? It's not vain repetition if the Lord lays needs in your heart and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray until the answer you gain. It's not vain repetition to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. It's not vain repetition to say, Lord, I surrender all. No, we ought to do these things. Friend, if the Savior prayed the same words, then ought we to follow in his pattern. But the reason that the heathen prayed and prayed babbling, really, they felt that they would be heard for their much speaking. In other words, they just put word after word after word after, oh, we pray for half an hour, surely the gods will hear us. No, they believed the quantity of prayer was more important than the content. Friend, it's the quality of the prayer, the sincerity of the prayer. A little sentence spoke in godly sincerity means more than an hour of just going over a rigmarole of stuff you're not even thinking about. Many of the most powerful prayers in Scripture were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. Old Testament, New Testament. And therefore, I would say pray specifically, and you will be encouraged with specific prayers answered. Now, yes, you can say, Lord, bless my family. Lord, bless the church. But how will you know when that happens? Of course, we know the Lord does bless our families. The Lord does bless the church. But if there's a need, lay it before the Lord. If somebody in your family is sick, pray for them by name. If there's a need in your church, pray for it specifically. And then when the need is met, you can give thanks to the Lord specifically. Lord, I prayed for that and I want to thank you. Pray scripturally. Claim the promises of the Lord in prayer from his word. I tell you, if you come with these promises of God, then you will not fail in prayer. Because it says there, the Lord shall reward thee openly. In other words, the Lord will answer your prayer. And you can come saying, Lord, you promised to answer my prayer. And I claim that promise today. But not only that, pray spiritually. Pray specifically, pray scripturally, pray spiritually. What I mean by that, if God says no, if God says yes, if God says wait, then remember that God is good and that's a blessed answer, whether you agree with it or not. Some people walk away saying, God isn't answering me. Friend, he is. But you're not willing to receive the answer. God's ways are the best ways. God's ways are the right ways. I'll trust in him always. He knoweth the best. Finally, God answers prayer. God answers specific prayer. And then finally, God answers prayers of faith. Verse 8, be ye not therefore like unto them. For your heavenly Father, or your Father, knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask them. You'll find that this is repeated in verse number 32. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And we're not to be like the heathen. Think if we just speak for a long, 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 long time, then that'll be it. No, you come before God realizing that he knows exactly what you need. He knows what you need. Is there anything more comforting that I could say today? God knows where you are today, what you're going through, what you need before you even realize it yourself. Do you often pray, and in the midst of your prayer, you've sat down to pray about something, and then as you pray, your heart is directed another way, and you end up praying for something else, or someone else, or somewhere else. Friend, that's the Lord laying his desires upon your heart. That's a wonderful thing. Why? Because he knows what you need, and he will lead you in the place of prayer. He lay things upon your heart to pray for. And I think that's a wonderful, it's a beautiful thing because it's the Lord dealing with our heart in the place of prayer. And God knows what you need and he has purchased everything that you need through the shedding of the blood on the cross of Calvary and all those gifts that are ours by right through Christ are available for our asking the things that we need. Often we want things that are not going to be of spiritual benefit to us, and God withholds them. But I'll tell you, God will withhold nothing good from the upright that will bless us and keep us faithful to him. Remember why we pray. Because it says, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So the carnal person would say, well, what's the point of praying? God knows, I don't need to tell God. No, you don't need to. But God wants you to and commands you to. Before you ask, God knows what you're going to ask, but you're coming in obedience to him. So why should the Christian pray? Because God commands us to. Because God blesses those who pray. And thirdly, because God changes the believer most in the place of prayer. Listen to that again. God changes the believer most in the place of prayer. I love singing. I love praising the Lord in song and singing the hymns. I love the preaching of God's word as God teaches and as we read and as we study. My friend, it's in the place of prayer when you're alone with God and your heart is laid out before God and you say, Lord, here I am, use me, mold me. That's the place where you're changed. Because you can sing all the songs and you can hear all the preaching and preach all the messages for that matter. But until you get on your knees and say, Lord, here I am upon the altar, you'll not be changed. God changes us in the place of prayer. One writer said, prayer does not change God, but it changes the one who prays. And I'll close with this last quote, E.M. Bounds again. Prayer makes a godly man and puts within him the mind of Christ, the mind of humility, of self-surrender, of service, of pity, and of prayer. If we really pray, we will become more like God, or else we will quit praying. And I'll tell you something, a person who is a praying person will know where the Lord has called them to be and will be committed to the work of God. A person who is a praying person knows what the Lord has called them to be and will be committed to what the Lord has called them to be. And a person who is a praying person, friend, will take everything to the Lord in prayer. And I'll tell you something, they'll be the greatest blessing in the church of Jesus Christ. They'll be the greatest blessing. Why? Because the Lord will flow through them. The Lord will flow through them. I trust and pray that if you have not already today taken time to pray to God, never you go home before or after your dinner, that you'll sit down, you'll take a time with God. I pray tonight that God will lay upon hearts of this congregation the importance of public prayer and that our room will be overflowing tonight. That the people who've already prayed will have to give up their seat because others are coming to pray. Not to be seen of man, because they believe God answers prayer. Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe God answers prayer? Do you believe the most important place for you in private is the prayer room, the public, the prayer meeting? We'll then go through with God. I do want to sing just two verses of one hymn as we close this morning. It's 645. 645. Is there a heart o'erbound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. Verses 2 and 3, and with this we're closed. Verses 2 and 3, and then we'll close. 645. Let's stand and sing. were listening to me more than I was listening to myself this morning. We'll sing verse number 3 as our final verse, please. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the friend that Jesus is. We thank you, Lord, we can share it all in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, we will not fear a disappointment because we know God will hear and answer prayer. Oh, give us a deeper burden, a greater hunger for prayer. And we know as we pray, we'll see the tide of blessing rise. Oh, Lord, revive us again, we pray. May God be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.